Every day is Saturday, and everyone's a fan, even babies.
Fan babies.
And the seasons never change, because the only season is college football season. Get a taste of Fansville this fall during a college football game near you. Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. Grab some today.
With gifts from eBay, you don't have to spend a lot to say a lot. Get a DeWalt drill set for dad that doesn't cost a lot, but still says, I love you a ton. For your all-star niece, Air Jordans that say, I can't wait to watch you take off at a price that isn't sky high. And for your rock star husband, a Bose soundbar that speaks volumes. For those who mean a lot, eBay has gifts that don't cost a lot.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, and Zubin Mahente.
Aaron Rodgers is 36 years old. He's playing at an MVP caliber level right now. It doesn't feel like the front office is setting up Aaron Rodgers for championship success. I do whatever I need to do to surround him with as many pieces as possible, even if it is short-term thinking, in order for him to win a Super Bowl.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio or streaming live on the ESPN app.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Hour number two off and running. If you want to give us a buzz, the number is 800-998-1003. Finally, start getting some real news. Who the Lakers want, Jordan? Always need more help from LeBron James.
The Lakers always want someone. Lakers have interest in trading for DeMar DeRozan. Per same source, Kevin O'Connor, NBA writer for The Ringer, Spurs would get Kuzma and Danny Green.
Poor Kuzma. Well, at least he got a ring now, right? Tried to throw him into the trade originally. The Godfather trade. Remember that one?
Oh, I remember that time all too well. I don't feel like reliving it.
We're not going back there. We're not going back there at all. All right. Hour two, as we mentioned, we'll have Ross Jackson next segment. Kenny Farrell at the bottom of the hour. Andrea Legretta, 145. In the meantime, feel free to give us a buzz. You can give us a take on that. What do you think? Do you think Kevin O'Connor, who earlier said the Celtics could be a possible destination, or have emerged an interest for Jrue Holiday? That includes three of their first-round picks. The first-round picks that they have are 14, 26, and 30. Pelicans have the 13th pick. So that's four first-round picks that maybe you could keep, really build, I guess, your team. Or Ali Cosell, the Bird, writes, one person's opinion seems to think that they're trying to grab as much assets as possible to move up higher in the draft and go target somebody. He eyes the 6'9", 235 power forward center out of USC that right now is slated to go to Chicago at number four. James Wiseman, 3, LaMelo Ball, 2, the Warriors, Anthony Edwards. This is just NBADraft.net. Pretty decent on where they are, but it's just one. And we'll start giving you some mock drafts as they start popping up here, left or right, as CBSSports.com has the Pelicans selecting Kyra Lewis Jr., point guard, out of Alabama. He's a sophomore if they stay at 13. Their top five is LaMelo Ball to the T-Wolves, James Wiseman, who I think would make sense to the Warriors, and Anthony Edwards to the Hornets, Obi Toppin to the Bulls, Halliburton to the Hawks there. So I'm not, and there's the player out of USC, Okongwu, going to the Wizards at 9. So again, I just look at this draft. There's no clear cut favorite, right, Jordan, to me. That I mean, there's no Zion. There's no AD. There's no, I just think it's whoever you think is a top player.
That's hard to find.
I'm not trying to be ugly. It doesn't come across as a star-studded draft. You know, and maybe it's just because we didn't get the full experience and all that. I don't know. So, but it does look like there's a possibility that if Drew Holiday's going to be traded, it might likely be on draft night for draft picks to then make a pick. I don't know. We'll see. But we'll get Schmidt Dua's take coming up at 2:30 on this. But of course, head coach Sean Payton spoke earlier this morning. Jordan, very long back and forth with the media. How long did it go?
Three questions.
Question number one, San Francisco, all the changes they made. Kind of team we're seeing here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's impressive. And I wouldn't call them changes. In other words, they haven't made changes, but certainly they fell on a rash of injuries. I think when you still watch these guys and you watch them really for each week of the season offensively, they present a lot of challenges. They do as good a job formationally with their run game and packaging their plays to suit their players' strengths. And it might not be just a running back. It could be the receiver or receivers. They give you quite a bit. And I think importantly for us, we've got to play with really good eyes and understand, you know, here are the schemes we're getting, and then be able to see and recognize those things. But it's pretty impressive.
All right, so you heard he's the first. He's not going to be the last to tell you about the schemes, the designs, the confusion that the 49ers try to present to you defensively and becomes challenges. Malcolm Jenkins, it's the same thing, especially when people brought up, hey, about that Bucs game, maybe the defense, ready to kind of stay there and stay where?
Obviously we had a lot of success. Guys played in discipline, did their job, won their matchups, and you know, as a team, you know, we did a great job. So I think we were clean on that, but there's still things that we can get better at. And again, we turn the page and look at this next opponent with the 49ers, it's a totally different game plan. Something that is going to struggle or is going to challenge our discipline, challenge our eyes, all of the things that, you know, kind of plagued us earlier in the year. So for sure, this will be, I think, a greater test of how much we've improved as a defense.
Another big topic, since it was his first day yesterday with the team. Remember, we played Sean Payton, finally got to meet him yesterday morning. He had just met him when he talked to reporters around 9:15-ish, 9:20 yesterday. Well, he practiced and he was asked two things about him today. Those were the other two questions. A, when did he realize that Kwon would maybe be a fit with the Saints defense?
Yeah, I know I can recall the name coming up, but at that time, I think, it really was more, man, it really began to take a little steam, you know, the weeks prior to the trade deadline, and it was a fit for both teams.
As far as how quickly can he get caught up to speed to where he can actually get on the field?
Yeah, we'll see. You know, it's a good question. It's his first week here. So I think more than anything, we just got to get a feel for, you know, how he handles our terminology, all of those things.
Malcolm Jenkins was asked that yesterday after practice. Realistically, this time of the year, if somebody moves teams, switches teams, whatever, how quickly can somebody realistically catch up to the point where they can get on the field quickly?
Rosters rotate every week, whether it be through injury or whatever. It's always guys coming in and out of the lineup. It's just about, you know, is the plan something that they can digest? Can they make the calls? Can they be caught up to speed? And I think we're seeing that. Kwon's a guy who's played a lot of football, very talented in – so far, one day of practice, it seemed to pick up the scheme a little bit. Obviously, you know, all week he'll continue to digest the plan, but, you know, we feel good about it.
Right. His overall thoughts on Kwon Alexander?
Not really before this, but, you know, seeing him today at practice, moves well. You can tell the natural ability that he has. He's picking up on the defense pretty well, especially this week where the offense and kind of what we're getting presented with is a little bit complicated. So I'm excited to see him in the lineup. I think he's definitely going to make us a better defense.
Interesting. So, I mean, right there. Again, look, I don't think you make this move if you don't think you're going to be able to put him onto the field and help him out or help out the defense. Malcolm Jenkins, again, referencing he's, you know, put him in the lineup and help him. Quarterback Drew Brees yesterday after practice was asked, what does he remember from playing Quan Alexander? Remember first with the Bucs, then the Niners?
Yeah, I always thought he was a very good player. High energy, brought a lot of juice. Seemed like he was a really intelligent football player. You know, obviously anybody who plays middle linebacker in the NFL has to be, a smart, tough guy. And so he always came across as being that. A guy who was kind of quarterback of the defense, you know, making a lot of calls, making a lot of adjustments, getting guys lined up. Very explosive player, really good athlete, great speed and key and diagnose ability.
All right, as we mentioned, pretty much everyone has played 8 games at least. So we're past the halfway point of the mark there for the NFL. And Drew Brees was asked, your evaluation. We did this, Jordan, right? During, going into last week and doing that, grades, where you are, where you see this team, things to improve on, what have you. Here's Drew.
Listen, I think each week we've gotten a little bit better. I mean, it's been an unusual season, especially, I think, offensively over the last 4 or 5 weeks, just because of the amount of personnel turnover with guys being injured and that kind of thing. So I feel like, in a way, we're just hitting our stride a little bit. Getting Michael Thomas back, I think he's going to continue to kind of get back into form, with the more reps and just kind of coming back off the injury. Emmanuel Sanders as well, and obviously just the more time that we have together. So that combined with the guys that we already have and the young guys that we have that can contribute as well, I'm excited to see our evolution.
So that's where he thinks the team is and continuing to improve there. Obviously, they'll be facing a 49ers defense that I think a lot of us feel the Saints should be able to have some success on. Again, they're just riddled with injuries. Why do you keep shaking your head? Why do you think? You think the 49ers, I know you're nervous. You're nervous about the 49ers, aren't you?
I'm a little nervous about this game. I'm a little nervous.
Nervous. Here's Brees on the 49ers defense.
I know this. They're very well coached and they've got great leadership. And they still have a bunch of great players. Obviously, they're short a few guys that, were key guys from last year. But I think just like any team, you have young guys that have to step up and play and contribute and be able to, execute the scheme. And I think despite the injuries that they've had guys that have done a good job doing that.
So Brees feels this defense still going to be able to present some challenges. And look, it is going to be interesting. There's something else I wanted to play as well. Because, again, I keep saying it's success is how people view or don't view Taysom Hill's job well or not. Realistic success, I thought sometimes. Well, this past Sunday, he was gold, right? Throws the ball, touches the ball.
I never did.
Runs the ball. Yeah, you did.
No.
You did. No, you were part of that group.
No.
It's never a good time and it's never the right play. You're part of that group. So I thought it was interesting. Drew Brees was asked. I think it was by Mike Triplett. And he was asked, the way he asked it, he said, look, when he throws the football, there's people out there go, why will a guy that doesn't throw most of the game come in for a future Hall of Fame quarterback who's in there for throwing the football? That's a legit question, right? Listen to Drew's answer.
Well, I think if you just look at the productivity and look at, I think what people don't realize too is the stress that puts on the defense. The defense has to have a plan for when Taysom's in the game at the quarterback position and the myriad of things that we can do. We can run read option stuff. We can do RPOs. Sometimes he's handing it off. Sometimes he's running it. Sometimes it's design quarterback's runs. Sometimes we're throwing it. Sometimes it's short. Sometimes it's deep. I mean, we have the opportunity to do so many things when he's in the game and when he's at the quarterback position. So it's just that much more stress on a defense. And there's big play opportunities and big play ability there. I think coming off a game, like the one we just had against Tampa where, Taysom had over 100 total yards of offense. you know, both receiving, running, and throwing. So that just becomes a great element to the offense.
Mm-hmm. Here, allow me to defend myself.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. The reason why he
100 yards of offense. Reason, how many total yards reason, of offense, by the way, at the same time?
Total yards of offense? Let me see real quick.
It's a good amount, right?
It is a good amount. Okay. Well, anyway, first off, Sean Payton said after the game that Taysom Hill was a part of their a main part of their scheme.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, whenever you saw him in previous games, you only saw him touch the ball twice in a game, and he really wasn't a main part of what the Saints were trying to do that particular day. The reason why it worked this past Sunday is because they were planning on using him, and you got Michael Thomas back, so the defense wasn't expecting it as much.
Why does this feel like you're taking away from Taysom Hill?
It kind of sounds like you're taking away from him. I'm not taking away from Taysom, because at the same time, yes, I was wrong in my assessment.
So you said it was probably better thought up?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Better concept?
He was
better planned out, thought out?
Yes, he was implemented a lot better than previous.
Or could it just been that it was executed?
No, because they used him way more. I mean, you could see right here, he had 7 carries. Mm-hmm. Previous games,
he had 420 yards of offense. He had over 100 of it.
Exactly. Yeah. I think he touched the ball 7 times in the past couple of games before, altogether before.
You don't find it at all interesting, the Tampa Bay game. At all interesting that it. This is literally the same guy fans can't stand for. But when he does well, here's what Sean had to say yesterday about why all of a sudden Taysom Hill's playing better.
Well, this team was different. We got him a handful of throws, especially early on. You know, we hit the seam to Jared. And then if we can get his body moving forward the right way, he's a tough out. I thought we blocked him well up front and had a lot to do. His numbers had a lot to do with how we ended up with over 150 yards rushing, and against a team that's hard to do. So, obviously, it was one of his better games.
How about we're both right? You heard him say it, he threw the ball. Well, yeah, everyone's been screaming, he's got to throw the football. If he doesn't throw the football, you're making it easier to defend.
Right.
And secondly, it was executed better.
You could just tell it was thought out. You used them more. I mean, you saw different plays that were happening that you didn't see.
The line blocked. I mean, you got to block the guys. But it helps you block the guys when they're not 15 of them, even though there's only 12, because everyone knows he's not going to throw the football. Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints, is next. It's the Sports Hangover Hour 2 on ESPN New Orleans.
Your heart is true. You're a pal and a confidant.
Oh, yeah, for over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy, Buick, new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way of saying thanks for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that light new pre-owned any make or model? Give us a call at 325-1000 or visit us on the web at goldenmotors.com. 325-1000. Golden Motors. Chevy, find new roads.
Hi, this is Trip Lee with AC Ambulance. It's been a hot summer and it's not over yet. I bet there are a lot of you whose AC could not keep up with temperature humidity control. If you fit into this category or just need a checkup, repair, or a heat load calculation, call AC Ambulance. We've been in business since 1979. We proudly sell Daikin backed by a 12-year parts and labor warranty and the best financing in the business. So don't take a chance. Call the ambulance. It's 467-1400 or check us out online at acambulance.com.
Drop and Fixin' Home and Thibodeau is your premier choice for smartphone, tablet, and computer repairs. Specializing in all major brands of smartphones, tablets, laptops, and desktops, Drop and Fix can make sure your devices continue to work while keeping your costs down. Whether you're a home full of gadgets or a business with printers and PCs, Drop and Fix can help keep your remote learning or remote working environments up to speed. Find our Home and Thibodeau locations on Facebook or on your device at dropandfixla.com. Drop and Fix. If you drop it, we can fix it.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
excited about a show where we just talk.
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Hour number two, back to our normal Thursday slot with Mr. Ross Jackson, Locked On Saints. Sir, how are you today? Hello, Ross.
Hey, sir, can you hear me?
Yes, I can now. How are you?
Yeah, there you are. I don't know. That always seems to happen when I jump in. Sorry, I'm doing well.
doing well, man. At Ross Jackson, Dolo is the way to follow you over on social media, on Twitter, Locked On Saints, and, of course, with the editor, Saint Canal Street Chronicles. Let's get right to it. I was just playing some sound on Drew Brees was asked, hey, look, you know, do some people may wonder why take out a Hall of Fame quarterback to throw the football and put Taysom Hill in to do that. And he talked about, look, the guy had over 100 yards of offense. He does so much and helps. I'm trying to figure out how just a couple of weeks ago people didn't want him to even step on the field. Now, there's the Taysom Hill. So I think it's probably a combination of both. It was the right play calls in terms of he actually threw the football and just execution, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think every now and then, you know, you're always going to see those moments where if it goes right, then, you know, everyone's an absolute genius. If it goes wrong, then everyone's, you know, doing the wrong thing or making the wrong choices. And so I think that it does come down to when those plays are called and how effective they are once they're called, that production definitely makes up for any of those questions that might come about. You know, I mean, I think any time that you take a Hall of Fame quarterback off of the field, and I think a lot of times what people were reacting to is that Drew Brees would maybe be leading a two-minute drive at the end of the second half and right. be on a roll, and then they get down to a third down, and then they take Drew Brees off and put Taysom Hill on. And I think that just contextually in terms of how we understand game situations from a viewing standpoint, I think that might have been one of the big sort of peeves for a lot of people. But the fact of the matter is that, look, this team has a game plan, and they know situationally what they want to do and where they can do it. So they're going to call those plays.
Ross, last week, man, we both kind of predicted or thought that some things that took place on Sunday may take place on Sunday. What were your overall thoughts on what you saw in Tampa Bay?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll tell you, I didn't expect a 35-point blowout. I'll tell you that much. But certainly, you know, in terms of, you know, we talked about the offense being a little bit more complete, a little bit more seamless, a little bit smoother with both Emmanuel Sanders and, of course, Michael Thomas back in the lineup there. We knew that they were going to attack this team and create some confusion for this young secondary, and they did that really well with personnel groups and alignments and, you know, utilizing the same formations over and over but swapping out different personnel to sort of confuse the defense because, yeah, they're coming out in the same formation and people are in the same, you know, space relative to one another, but it's different players that are assigned to do different things and carry different roles. So we saw a lot of that. We saw a lot of tendency breakers in this game, which this is right around the point in the season which you're going to see those. And, you know, looking over on the defensive side, I think, you know, we mentioned the pass rush, and the pass rush is obviously a huge part of this game. I kept Tom Brady uncomfortable from the very, very first snap. There was one moment that I can recall very clearly in which there was an open receiver down the middle of the field, Rob Gronkowski, but Tom Brady wasn't able to hit him because of the pressure, so that symbiotic relationship between the pass rush and the coverage was certainly there, and they did a really good job with yards after catch as well. I think Malcolm Jenkins is really – they've really figured out, and I think Dennis Allen talked about it here recently, but they've really figured out where Malcolm Jenkins can carry the most production and be the most efficient on this defense. And one of the big ways that he did it was probably in the middle of the field and playing in the box in this game.
Speak with Ross Jackson as we do each and every Thursday as we look back over what took place back over on Sunday. I don't know if this is a tough question for you to answer because I think there's so many, but of all the things you saw the Saints do well Sunday, what's the one that maybe surprised you the most?
I think probably the thing that surprised me the most, I'll stick with the defense and I'll just go with coverage. I mean, look, it wasn't just Marshawn Lattimore having a great day against Mike Evans as he has had here recently, but Janoris Jenkins had a great game. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson had a great game. We saw a couple of nice plays from Marcus Williams, including the interception, of course. So I think that would be one of the things that really surprised me. And I think that, I don't know what it is, but no matter what, Trey Hendrickson is just going to surprise me. His growth and the way that he has gotten better at chaining together pass rushing moves the way that this defensive line has been working and creating opportunities for themselves individually, but also one another. I mean, him coming out and getting three sacks in a row, one of them getting called back for a penalty, but still going out there and getting three sacks in a row, that was just an outstanding performance right there. It's where he just hit a stride and a gear that that offensive line was not able to handle.
It's one of the things to kind of keep an eye on as we continue and look now at the eight games that remain. And look, I've been saying a lot this week, Ross, that that Bucs game meant something and then nothing at the same time. It means nothing come 3:25 on Sunday. All the success you had, it's a different game, different situation, but it means something in that you're now back into the consideration. You're now in the talk. I don't know if I'm far enough away to say I control my own destiny, but you look at the remaining games, Ross, you kind of can to an extent, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you really, you can put yourself in that situation. I mean, it's kind of like what we talked about last week. This doesn't really seal the deal for the things to where they're in control of their own destiny, but it definitely puts them in best-case scenario. You know, they are at a position now to where they have a nice lead for the top of the NFC South because they have the tiebreaker there, which gives you a little bit of leniency. And then you also have, you know, sitting at the top of the NFC, but your next few opponents are all, you know, you've got five straight games against losing record opponents or not winning record opponents and, you know, teams that are dealing with a lot of injury that just aren't what they were expected to be. And so I think that within these next five games, this is really an opportunity for you now. You've sort of proven yourself against the Bucs. Now you have to remain and sustain moving forward, and now you have an opportunity to separate yourself over these next few weeks. And take advantage of this part of the schedule. But we also have to remember that, you know, two of these upcoming five games are divisional games against the Falcons, so you never know how that's going to go. And then you also have a three-game road trip that historically is tough for teams, you know. And so either that second game or that third game, those tend to be tougher for the teams that are traveling. And so it's not all just a, you know, completely paved road ready for them to go. So they still have to be able to go out there and perform. And they have to prove that what happened Sunday night, particularly on the defensive side, wasn't just a fluke against a familiar opponent, and that it is something that is their new identity. And I think you can expect a little bit of a, you know, we talk in you know, viewership and listenership all the time that, you know, you get a spike, and then all of a sudden that spike kind of drops off a little bit, but the new plateau is better than where you were before when you started. And that's kind of what I expect to see with the Saints defense. I think they just had a big spike in this game, and there's going to be a little bit of a drop into these next few games, but it should still leave them in a place where they're better than they were before. And I think that's sort of what you need to define now, is what is that defense actually and how sustainable is it moving forward?
It's a very good point. I've been talking about the next set of games and the different quarters and how you need to take advantage of it. But you're right, three straight being at home, the road games are still road games, man, and you never know how those things match up there. All right, man, I got about 3 minutes here, Ross. So let's turn our attention to the 49ers. Drew Brees says, look, they still got good players. They're still coached well. Sean Payton suspended some time this week already saying, look, the 49ers is still a good football team, good scheme. Malcolm Jenkins says what they do on offense can confuse you and do things that the Saints defense have struggled on. Is this a close game, you think, on Sunday?
I think it can be. I mean, I think the spread right now is 9.5. And but I do think that this is one that could end up being close within a touchdown, you know, between a touchdown and a field goal, I'd say. But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I just think that this is an offense that doesn't matter who they have in. You know, Kyle Shanahan is going to game plan and he's going to, you know, do his usual work. And he has a lot of players that can execute that game plan and that schematically fit with what this team does. So whether it's Nick Mullins under center or Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know how much of a drop-off you have there. But it's going to be about the playmakers around them. And you still have Brandon Ayuk. You still have, you know, Richie James who got involved in the offense in a big way last week against the Packers.
Right.
You've still got, you know, these running backs back there. You know, I think that you still very much have to be ready to play against the team. And, of course, they have a very good left tackle in Trent Williams. So can the pressure get home? I think it's going to be the biggest thing. And if you look at this team, San Francisco, they're still a very disciplined team. They're a team that could still produce even without some of those big names. But the Saints are in an advantageous situation. You look at the four players that made the biggest impact against them when it came to the game last year. And you had, you know, you had Nick Bosa, who's, of course, an injured reserve. And then you had George Kittle, Raheem Mostert, and Emmanuel Sanders. And the only one of those guys that's suiting up is Emmanuel Sanders, and he's playing for the Saints. So it does put them in a more advantageous situation coming into this game, but still one to where, particularly on the defensive side, you have to get pressure. You still have to hit all those fundamental needs against this team. You can't really relax here because now you have to prove yourself based upon the sort of, you know, the example that you set last week. Now, can you follow through and do it against an opponent that you should beat, but is still very talented?
All right. We always do this on Friday. We did it with you last Friday because you joined us. So give me an offense and a defensive player you think needs to have a nice game for the Saints to get another win.
Yeah, I mean, on defense, I'll go back to Marcus Davenport. I just think that the way that he's played so far, and I could probably, you know, I could interchange there Marcus Davenport or Trey Hendrickson, but I think that pressure continues to be very important. The Saints played a ton of dime defense in this last game. I think you might see a little bit more, maybe nickel, maybe even some base defense because of how much the 49ers like to run the ball, but they're eventually going to convert that into deep passing attempts and catch-and-run passing attempts, and so I think that guys on the defensive line are going to be a big part of that over on the defensive side. And then on the offensive side, I just look for Alvin Kamara. I mean, Alvin Kamara is going to have a nice matchup here with a pretty athletic linebacker in San Francisco with Fred Warner, but, you know, they didn't have to lean on him a ton last week, so I'll be interested to see how much they lean on him this week.
As always, man, I appreciate the time, Ross. What can folks find over there? Locked On Saints and Canal Street Chronicles.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Always a pleasure to be here with you. Yeah, you can catch Locked On Saints every single Monday through Friday, wherever you get your podcast. And, of course, you can catch everything I write over at canalstreetchronicles.com. And, of course, you can follow on Twitter at Ross Jackson Nola.
Always a pleasure, man. Take care, buddy.
You too, bud. Be safe.
Yep. We'll see you next Thursday. Coach Kenny Farrell is in here. Jordan, ready to talk a little soccer with him real quick?
Soccer?
Yeah.
Football.
Yeah, football. Football. You have to say it like that. Coach donning the purple jersey as well. You look like you're ready to coach a game, Coach. We'll see you soon.
And he's got the
And he's got the case. Official mask and the case. He's all purpled out. The Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
She's right here, behind the glass. You're gonna like her, cause she's got class.
Hey everyone, Gus Cattingill with the Sports Hangover for Men's Total Health. Having paid them a visit at their office in Metairie and speaking with Shane, I've learned so much about the effects of low testosterone and how it's not only physical. You would be surprised at how hormone imbalance can affect your daily life, emotionally, sexually, even sleep patterns. Hormone balance can help you be your best self. Get back to feeling your best with Men's Total Health. Visit menstotalhealth.net or call 504-777-7590 to schedule an appointment with Andrea today. They accept all major insurances and tell them you heard it on the Sports Hangover.
Some people just have a knack for being there when you need them the most. Like your third grade classmate who sticks up for you against that bully. The neighbor who gives you a jump start. And the friend who chases away that flock of geese at your outdoor wedding. Your State Farm agent has your back too, through good times and the not so good. And who's got your agent's back? State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. We're here to help life go right.
Call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today at 985-632-0988.
While you can't believe everything on social media these days, you can believe it's possible to start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Instead of waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal, take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Ramsey's is paying all the taxes on every item you purchase.
Up to $4,000.
Right now.
Today. And starting this Friday, we're having our three-day
engagement ring extravaganza.
Our tax-free event
is happening right now.
Ramsey's Diamond Jewelers is the largest diamond store in Louisiana.
Coming up on Tuesdays Off the Bench, LSU head coach Ed Ogeron, coach Derek Stingley Sr., Saints writer Nick Underhill, and Barstool Sports' Brandon Walker all stop by for a massive day of football and a brand new OTB mailbag. Off the Bench, 100.3 ESPN.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
And Coach Kenny Farrell will welcome you in and then bring in Uncle Earl here in a quick second. How are you today, man? It's been a while since we've seen you, huh? You been busy?
Yeah, very, very busy. Yeah, trying to avoid you, to be honest.
Well, that doesn't surprise me at all. Uncle Earl, thanks for giving us a call, sir. Let's bring you in quickly, and then we'll get as to why Coach Kenny Farrell is here. What you got today for us, man, on this Thursday?
Hey, Gus, I just had some wings, man. Something was missing.
Oh,
I didn't
jealous.
Too, man. What the hell is jealous. Going on?
Yeah, you know, we'll hopefully see you soon. We'll see you soon. What you got, man? How you doing?
Well, Hey, Sissy says hello, too. She said, man, Gus is a great man. So
see, you didn't have to
pass that along.
Now I feel completely jealous.
hey, Gus.
Yeah.
What the hell is this? The KRRV 100.3 damn country music keeps interfering with your, with the broadcast, at least on my XM radio. I don't know why it keeps going in and out.
I don't know, man. Something with the signal today. Well, hopefully it'll be better tomorrow.
Is that a good song?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. What you got, Earl? All right. Well, I guess that's what he wanted to call us. Missed us having wings. He missed the signal being as clear as it can be. Awesome. So, Coach, we have you in because today in about, I don't know.
A few minutes.
10 minutes. Yeah, 1:45. There is a friendly, the 2020 International Friendly, between the U.S. and Wales. Now, look, we all know that these friendlies and everything matters because this year there's going to be World Cup qualifying games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We didn't make it the last World Cup.
Is that right?
I remember that. Yeah. And, you know, it's a new coach. It's a new person in charge. Whatever. Bottom line, I want to look at things positively.
Okay.
Because, you know, there's no other way to really look at it, right? I mean, you got to try to get over there. So you got a couple of qualifying games, and these friendlies report to try to find out what team you want on the pitch to try to qualify in, right? Is that what we're doing right now?
Yeah.
Okay. Does it help or not help that Christian Pulisic's not going to be on the field?
Well, it would be nice to have him there.
Right.
I think, you know, we've been looking at him for the last 2-3 years and watching his progress, and I think he's really turning into what could be a world-class player. I don't think he's there yet, but I think it's coming. And we needed that. We need that because if we get to the World Cup finals, we need players like him. But you've also got Reyna coming behind him that is on that same path, Gio Reyna there that's playing in Germany. But for Pulisic, it'd be great if he was on the field. But look, you're not guaranteed that he's going to be fit at the World Cup. So what does the coach do? He says, look, you know, okay, we don't play with him today. How do I adjust to get the result?
Mm-hmm.
Now pressure moves on some other players to step up on the pitch. And I'm sure that the coach is preparing them that way. I think he's at a point where he's been spending a couple of years trying to figure out who his players are.
And that's what I wanted to get into because you're getting a bunch of different names. And I kind of referenced this to maybe a sport that maybe a lot more people are familiar with around here. And let's say golf, right? I mean, like Tiger Woods. You hear Tiger Woods. That's Pulisic right now in men's soccer, right? In terms of the name that most people would recognize. But you have some other guys that are people that are looking forward to. You mentioned Gio Reyna, who has tradition and a bloodline with U.S. soccer. His dad was on the team.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's going to be an opportunity. I believe he plays today, and an opportunity for him on the national stage. Mm-hmm. He's obviously been a phenomenon as a youth coming through. There's great hope on him.
And he's at Dortmund.
Yeah, and he's at Dortmund, yeah. This is where Pulisic came from. And he's coming through. So, you know, a lot will be on his shoulders today, and it's time to prove to the coach, you know, whether you're going to be a player that he's looking for the next couple of years. And who's going to play around you? Who do you connect with? What's the chemistry like? And also implementing tactics, which I think, you know, we've talked about this before as well, is Berhalter needs to decide which game, how he's going to play which game. If he's playing in, you know, Central America, he's obviously going to, you know, go on the front foot. If he goes to Europe and he's playing against Gareth Bale, who's playing for Wales, do we approach it differently? So there's so much can be learned from this game today.
Claudio Reyna's his dad.
Yes.
So he was a U.S. captain.
Yes.
I mean, you know, again, it's probably been instilled in him. And the reason I bring him up, and so many people on Twitter are excited to see him play and be a part of this team, is not only you need talent, but you need people that, quote-unquote, give a hoot. Right. And you could fill in the blank for a many different words for hoot.
Yeah.
I'm assuming if your dad was a captain on this team, he's probably grown up knowing it, hearing about it. Like for him, this is probably a big moment for his family. It matters. And I think that's kind of where you need to be because you're taking on teams across the world, Kenny, where literally that's all that matters for those. Right. I mean, let's look at Messi. I mean, you look at Messi. Messi has been one of the most accomplished players to ever play soccer.
Yeah.
Needs to win a World Cup. Right?
Needs
that's what I'm saying. It's like people look at it and be like, you never won a World Cup, though. I mean, so it matters. You need people that understand, I guess, that level of not only pressure but of importance because if you're going to compete against teams where that is that importance, then you need to have that as well, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And the bloodline helps and, you know, growing up and understanding what it meant because he probably grew up like he's young. I think he's 17 going on 18 right now. But he's young. But also growing up understanding, he's probably got a great understanding of the evolution of the U.S. national game, which since, you know, since the first World Cup here in the early 90s, he was probably just being born around that. I think he was born in Sunderland in England, actually. Mm-hmm. But he would know the importance of it, and he'll carry it. And let's see what he does in today's game, and let's see what he can carry going forward. Pulisic isn't there, so it's big boots to fill. And as far as, you know, leadership in that team. And let's see at 17 if he can do it. The good thing, Gus, looking towards the World Cup, if we make it, and we should make it to the finals, is the average age of the team is 21, and it's a few years off. So that's good. You need one or two of the older players there, but you need some of the young talent coming through. I don't think that's bad. It's whether the coach gets it right or not.
And that's why it's important to find your, I guess, your core, your foundation, and then give them 2-3 years to play together before you get to that, right?
Yeah.
Weston McKennie is another player that's young, that's being talked about. Tyler Adams as well. All of these guys are going to be playing today.
Yeah.
And again, judging by social media, soccer fans, they're excited. Like, you see a lot of exclamation marks that you're going to see, you know, Reyna, McKennie, and Adams all on the same. So people that have been following, I guess, their careers are excited to see them now wearing, you know, this shirt.
Yeah, and you've got to get the players to buy in. So, I you can have talent, and you know, on any given day you can win a game. It's can you win them consistently? Are the players bought into the way you want to play? Are they going to gel and work together? I think coming through the early part of Berhalter's career as a coach, he's been figuring out who his players are. He's got some good players coming through. It's about him now being able to give them a plan, then buying into the plan every game that they play. And this is not a friendly, by the way. This is preparation for the World Cup. This is preparation for the players coming together as a group that want to take on any team. So there's more to it than just calling it a friendly.
And that's why I'm bringing it up, and I'm taking the time to do this, because while Pulisic is the name, and he's had a nice, you know, start to Chelsea last year, no goals this year, but he had some nice goals last season. 9 goals, 4 assists in 25 matches for Chelsea last year. But he hasn't played, Kenny. I had to double check this to make sure it was factual. October 2019 was the last time he played for the U.S.
Well, the U.S. hasn't played many games.
No, I know, but still, I mean, it sounds, but that's my point, though. I mean, father time is father time, and that's a lot of time, when a casual fan hears that, we're a month and a couple of weeks away from 2021.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's been a little bit. So he's likely probably not going to play again until 2021. That'll be almost 2 years.
Yeah.
You got to find other players.
Right. Well, as far as Pulisic, I don't have any questions about him. I just hope he stays fit.
Okay.
I'll tell you why. Because playing at the highest level with Chelsea, when he does play, and he doesn't play all the time, they have a big squad. Sometimes he's injured, and he was given the number 10 shirt. That's a big deal from his coach, and he's won the admiration of his coach big time to give him that, and I think that he can carry us forward if he doesn't stay injured, and he's an impact in basically 99% of the games he plays in. He's a major impact, score and not score. He's an impact, and when you're doing that at that level, hopefully he can carry that over into the U.S. national
probably
team.
Have to bring that up. He has a hamstring injury, which is why he hurt it in practice. So that's why he's not playing. He's not playing because he doesn't want to or anything like that. All right, so we kind of touched on so many young players to kind of keep an eye on. I'm going to ask you the question that I asked you last time I saw you in person. I'm going to continue to ask you. It's all fine and dandy to have those other guys, right?
Say that again.
It's all fine and dandy to have those guys, the goals, scores, stuff like that. I need to know Jordan's adversary over here, Michael Bradley. Who's my next guy that, you know, controls the pace of the games, that guy in the middle of the field? Who's that? And in comma, more importantly, who's my keeper? I've seen some nice ones in MLS, and stuff like that, but who's my keeper? I need a keeper, man. Like, Toronto's got one right now that's, like, saving everything, but I think he is on the team. So, but who is the keeper? Because that is, to me, the key.
Yeah, again, this goes back to conversations we've had over the last year and a half. I think we can compete in most games that we play in, no matter who we're playing against, if we're put together correctly, and the chemistry of the team and the psyche is good. But I've always worried about the center of defense, I've told you that, and the goalkeeping side of it. It's not been good enough, it's not been strong enough. And I do see some of the comments from Berhalter today saying that he's got very quick defenders in there. He wants to be very aggressive on defense. He's saying the right things. You know, he's getting back behind the ball. Everybody defending at one time. And, you know, talking about having fast defenders, you may see them, you know, press up the field a little bit today and defend higher.
I was going to ask you, what does that mean, that you go try to challenge the ball quicker,
well,
a little closer to the middle of the part?
Well, he can compact the game a little bit more, so he can win the ball back higher up the field. If he's not scared of the pacing behind him and they can recover, and then you know, they can compact the field, push up the field a little bit, and, you know, win the ball higher up the field. I sense his comments were fairly general, but reading through them, I think he knows where the problem is. And I don't think we're going to worry about being able to keep the ball in midfield with some of the players we have or with some of the strikers we have. I think it really comes down to those two central defenders to me and to the goalkeeper. Getting that right, that's the backbone of the team right there.
Right.
And I think he understands that. And as I say, they're general comments, but you're reading through them. So I think he's getting where he needs to be.
Well, that's why I brought you in. It's a friendly. It doesn't count, but I think it really does matter. Like, I think that's what we're boiling down to. So let's wrap up here. We got 2.5 minutes. Who are Wales? What do you want to see that we're going to be talking about? Or I can text you back and forth later on after this game ends.
So what's going to happen? Wales, like, have a lot of players that play in run-of-the-mill but high-level leagues.
Okay,
the Championship, the Premiership. They have one world-class player, Gareth Bale. He's done it at every level. Can win a game in a second. So while they're preparing for this game, toe-to-toe, they should be able to be in the game. You've got to watch for Gareth Bale, and you've got to learn how to defend a world-class player in a game like this. Mm-hmm. And so you'll be adjusting your tactics to, we want to play this way, but however, we need to take care of this at all times. It's going to be interesting. I've got a funny feeling from the way he's talking that he's going to press high up the field. And because he's talking about being aggressive up front as well and closing down around the front. So I think they are. But what that does is that opens it up with space behind. And if you give the likes of a Gareth Bale, who is probably the only world-class player on the pitch today. I mean, when I say world-class, that's a very high standard to me. Mm-hmm. You don't want to give him the opportunity to take a moment to change the game in Wales' favor. But Wales have been going through a little bit of a lull. Right now, they're generally a team and a nation that's known to overachieve in recent past, and they've done well in recent past because they work so hard, and I said they all buy in together, and they're able to win games sometimes that you think they wouldn't. So, listen, let's watch the game, see how it goes, and let's focus on how the U.S. is approaching the game and take that as an indicator for the future. They've got a very quick game coming up behind them against Panama.
All right, so we'll talk in between those two games. We'll get your opinion on this one, and we'll preview against Panama.
Sure.
Sounds good. Good seeing you.
You too.
I'll get to see you soon.
All right.
Or maybe we'll go eat after.
Okay.
There's that smile. Head coach Kenny Farrell, Union World Jesters. Quick break. Andrea Legretta. Next.
Year-end savings start now. Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Huge discounts, plus year-end incentives make now the best time to upgrade a Greg LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Super year-end deals. Highlanders, RAV4s, and 4Runners marked on sale. Plus, get up to $2,000 over Kelley Blue Book for your trade. The time is now for super year-end pricing. Check out the inventory online at GregLeBlancToyota.com or at Greg LeBlanc Toyota, Hollywood Road in Houma.
E-Tel Business. Your business, our priority. Business is fast, so you need to stay ahead with internet, phone, and Wi-Fi that's even faster. For a limited time, when you purchase 2 business services, you get 3 months free. That means your business is backed by E-Tel's reliable network, powered by local experts. Save now on the speed you need to run your business and get 3 months free with 2 or more services. Call 798-7952 or visit etelbusiness.com. E-Tel Business. Your business, our priority.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients, offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering, also holding tank rentals and portable hand washing stations. So call Joe Septic Contractors 24/7 at 985-632-5592 in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville, or visit their website at joeseptic@viscom.net.
Experience the history at the Destrehan Plantation Fall Event this weekend from 9 till 4. Then shop till you drop with our art and craft vendors. See our authentic 1840 mule barn filled with antique treasures. Enjoy the Cajun Creole food park, children's activities, period craft demonstrations, and live music Saturday featuring Kayla Woodson followed by Ray Foray and Foray Tradition. And Sunday's Kevin Galage followed by Buckwheat Zydeco. So take a step back into history at the Destrehan Plantation Fall Event, 13034 River Road in Destrehan.
Talk sports.
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Head coach Willie Fritz of the Tulane Green Wave. We spoke with him back on Tuesday earlier this week. He had this to say about facing Army, their next opponent.
Well, they just don't make very many mistakes. You know, offense, defense, kicking game. You know, they want you to make mistakes. You know, they want you to turn the ball over. They got good play. I mean, you know, I've mentioned that before. They've got the largest roster known to mankind, and they do a great job of getting these guys in there and developing them offensively. You know, they got a lot of different things they can do. You know, you work like crazy on the under center triple stuff, but that's just part of their offense. They'll also get in the gun and do some things out of it, which is a totally different animal. And they kind of get in and out of it, and that's a big advantage for them. So just very disciplined and don't make very many mistakes. And we got to play extremely disciplined as well.
All right, let's bring in the voice of the Tulane Green Wave as we do each and every Thursday. Andrew Allegretta at A. Allegretta is the way to follow him over on social media. Sir, your football team's 4-4, big win at ECU in terms of getting to 500 and taking care of a team that probably showed up a little ticked off from having a win maybe stolen from them in their mind. So a nice win by the Green Wave?
Yeah, I think it's a great win, Gus. I mean, look, you feel like you were robbed a couple of weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago against Navy. You made your own mistakes, so you have to go out there and take care of business down the stretch to feel like you've accomplished something in 2020. And I don't think Tulane has played a better brand of football throughout the course of a football game than East Carolina. The offense is developing under Michael Penn. Had that tremendous moment with the defense where Patrick Johnson sets the all-time sack record. Again, it's on the road in a place that has been difficult to play with or without fans. And so, a really good victory.
Andrew, when you look at that game, too, one of the things that stood out to me was balance. You saw the Tulane defense play really well. Coach touched on Patrick Johnson becoming the all-time sack leader. He had three. And then you also saw an offense, the ability to throw and run the ball. What stood out on either side of the football for you?
Well, I think I would probably first go back to the development of Michael Pratt. Coach Houston, the East Carolina head coach, said that was the best schemed offense against their defense that he's seen all season. And in part, that's Will Hall, the offensive coordinator for Tulane. And in part, that's Michael Pratt, the freshman in his development, the ability to sit back there and diagnose plays. Something that Michael Pratt told me this week is, you know, Gus, football coaches talk all the time about we're going to script our first 10 to 15 plays.
Right.
Well, they did that. But you know what they did? They got to the line of scrimmage, and they checked those plays against East Carolina in that first series, and it was boom, pass. Boom, pass, boom, pass. And that's because of the communication and the depth development between Coach Hall and Michael Pratt. That's an intellectual quarterback, and Pratt intellectual beyond his freshman year. So I think that's tremendous. And then just in general, that's a pretty talented quarterback in Holton Ahlers for East Carolina. I don't know if he plays on Sundays or not, but he might get a look. And he wasn't overwhelming in the passing attack. So that was a nice day for the defense, the secondary mm-hmm. that at times has struggled.
Yeah, exactly. Confidence helps, man. I mean, that's, you know, whatever. I mean, at the end of the day, hold the team to three like you did against Temple, take care of your business against ECU like they did. That can all help and build as you get closer to this. You brought up Pratt. And now, Andrew, you've seen him enough here, I think, in a handful of games against some opponents and some good quarterbacks that have faced him here as well. I know we always talk about it, Breeze, Brady, what have you. They don't really face each other, but that's how we present it. And I see a lot of this on social media. So I'll ask you, he's legit, huh? I mean, like, I see a lot of Tulane fans getting excited going, we have a quarterback. Do you legitimately think this is a guy, because I do, that you can build around in terms of, I'm recruiting now to passing the football, right? I mean, I'm recruiting receivers. I'm recruiting line that can maybe pass block and backs that can maybe catch the ball off the backfield. You get what I'm getting at, what I mean? Do you have a quarterback to build around?
Yeah, I think you certainly have a quarterback to build around. And Will Hall, the offensive coordinator, has told me on any number of occasions that he's special. There's any number of stories that I could tell you about the mental makeup of Michael Pratt. You know, again, I spoke with him earlier this week, just, you know, off microphone just chatting at practice, and I point blank asked him, do you like the film room? Like, do you actually like going in there and studying it, or is it a box that you check to get ready for the week? And, oh, his eyes lit up, Gus. He loves to go in there and figure out what a defense is doing and how he can get better. Keep in mind that he got here to Tulane early. He was here in the, I guess, spring semester of last season to help himself get ready. You made one point that said you can recruit to throw the football. I don't necessarily know that Willie Fritz and Will Hall, should that tandem stay intact for the long term, I don't know that they're going to be this air raid offense. They're not going to change that. They're going to want to keep running the football and to get Tajay Spears back. And I do think they want to run to set up the pass. But what you have is a quarterback in Michael Pratt that when you run successfully, he's going to tear you apart because space is going to be open at the second and third level. And vice versa, by the way. If you need to use the pass to set up the run, he can take advantage of that. I don't think they'll deviate from a balanced attack, but in terms of, like, having a centerpiece, I'm not saying he's a flawless quarterback and he's a finished product as a freshman, but there's a lot of optimism there. There has to be.
And I think you bring up a very interesting point because this past week at ECU, Cam Carroll led the way in the backfield. Before that, Amari Jones, a guy that you've been saying, hey, you think he can really help this backfield, he led the way. And before that, it was Stephon Hutterson. So, hey, those are all good problems to have, right, as to who you get the football actually to.
They've had a really deep running back rotation. We always felt like it was going to be fortunately, guys, I think what we saw at the very beginning of the season was like two or three things happened all at once, and then Tulane had to fight its way through it. Number one, Tajay Spears, the Ponchatoula kid, tears his ACL against Southern Miss. That's your not just best running back, but best overall athlete on the team. So that was a huge, huge hit for that offense. And then you transition from Keon Howard to Michael Pratt. We have seen the growth and development once they've gotten the offense on track. But despite losing a couple of key pieces, you have always had that tremendous depth at that position, and it has absolutely paid off for that offense in the way that Will Hall can put his pieces in place.
Got about a minute and a half here. Andrew Army, you heard Coach Fritz kind of reference what he feels and sees about him. His team's 6-1. Last week they didn't play because their game was postponed against Air Force. What kind of football team of the night's bringing into Yeoman at 11 o'clock?
Do you want me to just throw one hot take in there?
Do it.
Get out. Look, Tulane has the opportunity to, for the first time since 1984, beat a ranked opponent. Army's ranked 25th in the country. With all due respect, and they're a good football team, they are not a top 25 program. Like, 6-1 is inflated because they have played three FCS programs. And I don't have the stat right in front of me, but I think if you take Cincinnati out of the equation, their opponent's record, and keep in mind, FCS programs in the mix is like 7-23. They've played an abysmal schedule. But what they are is tremendously fundamentally sound. They've got their system. They will not beat themselves. You're going to have to be sharp and on point. So if Tulane is sloppy, it's going to be a problem. But if Tulane takes care of business, they'll be okay.
As always, appreciate when you stop on in on Thursdays, Mr. Andrew Allegretta, voice of the Tulane Green Wave at A. Allegretta. It's the way to follow you over on Twitter and check out that podcast, The Current, as well. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thank you. I'm sorry that wasn't the hottest of takes, but it's what I got.
It was hot, man. It was sizzling. You know, it was enough to where I needed to wear an oven mitt. You know what I'm saying?
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. It's the Sports Hangover Hour 2 in the books. Your phone calls next, right when we get back in 3 minutes on the Sports Hangover and ESPN New Orleans.